Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider this morning for our Christian living is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. And so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who made many sacrifices for us so that we could be spiritually and eternally rich. Dear fellow redeemed, the topic of church giving has been known to be a sensitive issue in various congregations. I've heard individuals decry the fact that this or that pastor preaches quite often about contributions to the church. Others have spoken of church leaders going to the homes of the members and asking them what their income is, and then announcing to them what is expected of them to contribute for the Lord. And still another unhelpful practice is publishing a list of what each of the members contribute to the church. Where such practices are in use, I can understand why members are sensitive to and even put off by the talk of money contributed to the church. Then there is another extreme where ministers shy away completely from preaching about this subject matter. They're concerned that they might offend the members, or that the pastor might be perceived as a money-hungry, money-grabbing minister. Both of these extremes are not spiritually healthy for a congregation. And so, by the grace of God, we want to achieve a God-pleasing balance, because this is one of the doctrines, one of the teachings that has been revealed to us in Holy Scripture for our benefit. When and where we have fallen short in this area of Christian stewardship, we're willing to hear what the Word of God has to say to us. It exposes and reproves our shortcomings. And we delight to hear the gospel of Christ that reminds and reassures us of God's redeeming, forgiving love and motivates us for Christian giving. In the Bible account today, we find the Lord talking about money and church offerings as he spoke to his disciples about the contribution that were brought to the temple that day. And since the Holy Spirit moved the evangelist Mark to record this incident for our learning, Jesus also invites us to observe the offerings that were made that day at the temple. By drawing our attention to the widow's contribution, Jesus wants us to observe that her offering was more than all the others. That her offering was given cheerfully in response to Jesus' sacrificial love for her. And that her offering was given with trust in the Lord. In this particular day, Jesus was in the temple of Jerusalem. He was sitting opposite of the treasury box where people were filing by and they were pouring their money into the temple treasury. And he did this in order to observe the amounts given and the attitude with which those contributions were made. As Jesus looked on, he saw many financially well-off folks pouring in large amounts of money into the boxes. Then Jesus noticed a widow putting into the treasury two very small copper coins known as mites. Two mites would be equivalent of 1/64 of a day's wage. In today's terms, it would be equal to about $1.88. On the basis of quantity in comparison to the large contributions made that day, the woman's offering seemed rather minuscule and insignificant. Two small coins? To the casual observer, it would have been the large offerings that would have caught their attention. And they would have marveled at those who just put large amounts of money into the treasury box. Whereas the widow's two mites may have gone unnoticed, or people may have looked down upon her for giving such a small amount of money to the temple. And yet, what do we find Jesus saying to his disciples about the two examples of people who brought their offerings to the temple? He pointed out that the widow gave more than all the rest. How could that be? Jesus' assessment doesn't seem to make mathematical sense. Well, Jesus went on to explain by revealing that the many put in out of their abundance. That is, they were put in their excess, their surplus, and they'd have much money left over to take care of their needs, as well as extra money that they could use for luxuries and the niceties of life. In other words, they were in a position to give a lot more if they follow the scriptural principle of giving in proportion to what the Lord has blessed us. As for the widow's offering, she said, she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. This was a poor woman. She didn't have a whole lot of earthly goods. And yet from her meager resources, she gave this small offering to support the temple service. This is not a matter of giving surplus funds, for she gave all that she had. This was not proportional giving. It was sacrificial giving. When Jesus directed his disciples' attention to what was being contributed that day, he wasn't telling us to engage in the practice of looking and seeing what other people are giving to the church and then compare it to what we are doing in our contributions. No. Jesus was using this as a teaching situation in the area of Christian giving. After hearing this inspired account, what the Lord wants us to do is to examine our own practice of contributing for the work of the Lord. He wants us to ask ourselves whether we are giving in proportion to what the Lord has blessed us. Considering the widow's offering, if we became aware of a great need for financial support in certain areas of the kingdom, would we be willing to give sacrificially? That is, do without some things in our life that we didn't really need, in order to give more for the work of the Lord. Taking into account what we know about the financial resources of the poor widow, we cannot help but marvel at the great sacrifice she was willing to make for kingdom work. And it would quite naturally prompt us to think, what would motivate her to give all that she had, even if it was just a little bit? Since Jesus singled out her offering and spoke approvingly of it, we know she didn't do it in order to outdo others or to be praised by her fellow man. Neither did she do this with the thought of somehow she'd be meriting God's favor. Not at all. Her sacrificial offering came as a willing and cheerful response to God's great sacrificial love for her. In the Old Testament times leading up to the coming of Christ, the focus of the worship service was on the coming sacrifice of the promised Messiah, what he would make for sinners like you and me, to receive God's pardon for all our transgressions, and finally enable us to have a share in the eternal life of heaven. This was pictured for the believer in the graphic religious rites that were done day after day throughout the years. That is the killing of a sacrificial animal, pouring out its blood upon the altar as a sin offering. This was to point the believer of the Old Testament to Jesus and the supreme sacrifice he would make when he would pour out his blood upon the cross of Christ for our forgiveness and eternal salvation. And the contribution that those Old Testament believers brought to the temple gave expression to their thankfulness, their gratitude for the Lord's sacrificial love for them. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the apostle reveals the wonderful gospel truth that is the motivational force behind our Christian giving. He writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." When we think of all the sacrifices that Jesus made for us, wretched sinners, we marvel at it. It's beyond comprehension. The eternal Son of God, who possessed everything, he left his throne on high and he set aside the full use of his divine glory, power, and majesty when he came to be our Savior. He became a humble servant of sinners like you and me, living for us on our behalf. He suffered rejection and deep degradation at the hands of his enemies for us. And finally, he sacrificed his precious blood in Calvary to pay for all our many transgressions so that we could become rich. Rich? Rich in the forgiveness of all our sins. Rich in God's grace and favor resting upon us. Rich in the blessed assurance that when we leave this life, we're going to go to heaven. Can you think of any greater wealth and riches than these, that Jesus made great sacrifices so that we could have them? When we're mindful of God's great sacrificial love for us and our hearts are moved by God's love, it's not a matter of how little we bring to the church in our offerings, nor do we give grudgingly. Rather, we ask ourselves, what can I do in return? How can I show my great thankfulness and love for the Lord for all that he has done for me to make us rich? When we bring our offerings to the Lord, we not only show the measure of our thankfulness, but we also are motivated to do all that we can to support the gospel ministry so that other people can learn about their Savior too and become rich as we are. In the case of the widow, her gratitude to God for his blessings and her desire to help others learn of his great love for them was very much apparent in her offering. As people read the account of the widow's mites, there could be those who question her judgment in giving all that she had. Since she gave everything she had, How was she going to be able to manage? Was her generous offering reckless and foolhardy? The Old Testament reading for today, it helps us in addressing this concern that was just raised. In 1 Kings 17, we read of that familiar account of that poor widow who was asked to take what little food she had, which she was going to go and prepare for herself and her son, eat it, and then they were faced with death in the midst of this severe famine and drought. She was asked by the prophet Elijah, please take what little you have, make me some bread, and then for yourself and your son. And it had the promise of the Lord who says, you're not going to go without. The Lord's going to make sure that you have food for yourself and your son all throughout this famine. And you recall what happened. A miracle. Every time that this widow went to that bin of flour and that jar of oil, it never ran out. It kept on producing day after day after day until it came to the end of the drought. The widow in our text, like the widow of Zarephath, put her faith and trust in the Lord to provide for her after she gave the last of her money. Just as Jesus has instructed us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and trust that tomorrow He will continue to give us our daily bread. I remember hearing of this one pastor who was served in a congregation out in Nebraska. It was during the Depression. And it was so tough that they didn't know where the next day's meal was going to come. But this pastor said the Lord never failed them. Every single day, the Lord, one way or another, provided them with food so that they were sustained during the Depression years. And that widow, Zarephath, she had, and the widow here that gave that, the two mites, she had that trust God would continue to provide for her till the end of her days. When we read of these two widows' sacrificial giving, are we to gather a message from God that He expects us to give sacrificially? No. He's not saying this. Not at all. But if the Lord were to move our hearts to give sacrificially for this or that cause for the kingdom of God, we have the confidence that and trust that the Lord would. He'll keep on providing for us. We're not going to go without. He'll make sure we're fed and clothed and housed just like He has throughout the years. Look back upon your life. Different things that you went through, trials, shortages. Did the Lord ever forsake you? He's been faithful to us throughout our lives, and He'll continue to do so to the very end of our days. As the Lord Jesus observes our practice of church giving, does He find us always contributing according to what we have been blessed with? Do we always present our offerings with a cheerful, willing, and generous spirit? I think that after we do an honest assessment of ourselves, we'd all have to say we haven't always given as we should with the right attitude. But thank God that we have our Savior Jesus, who washes away all our shortcomings and failings and covers our failings with His righteousness. And as God's dear children, we look to His great redeeming love to fill our hearts with ever thankfulness, willingness, cheerfulness to bring our offering to the Lord in support of His kingdom. And we put our trust in the Lord to provide for us, knowing we'll never be left without. The account of the widows might serve as an example and inspiration for our practice of Christian giving for the work of the Lord. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.